acted my age tonight, and I came all the way round and up the steps. I didn't take my water tonic this evening. I'd like to read in the book of Acts, please, where we left off this morning. The book of the Acts, we left off at chapter 1, verse 11. And we'll start and read at verse 12 to the end of the chapter. Acts 1:12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem, that is the apostles, from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said that the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, inasmuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Asodama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, or his oversight, which we would understand maybe a little better, let another take. Wherefore, of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, I understand his name means added, and called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias, whose name means gift of Jehovah. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two men thou hast chosen, that we may take part of this ministry, that is, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 12 apostles. Our subject for tonight is, as I told you this morning, I trust would be the waiting period. And I hope that we've read the Word of God together intelligently, and now we will seek to, in some measure, the best to our knowledge, through the help of the Holy Spirit, try to give the sense of it. There was a little misunderstanding, and maybe it was possibly the way I put it forth this morning. It may have sounded like that I'm the only one that speaks or teaches at the old folks' home in Caledonia. And I don't want us to at all get a hold of anything like that, because we have a number who takes part in that ministry. And I want to say this, that I don't know of any ministry that I've been in where there's more of a oneness of mind and heart and unity in carrying that work out at the home. So I'm just going to mention a few of the names that help in this ministry. That is, speak from the little podium that we have there. We have Ed Anderson coming in. We have Clint coming in. We have Reggie Nicholas. We have Doug Bates. We have Bob Fraser, who opened the meeting in prayer. We have Larry Whelan and Richard McIntyre. And sometimes when there's a minister with us that is out in motion and going from place to place, possibly on Wednesday night, on Thursday he will come right along with us and we permit him to minister. But it's a work of togetherness. And it doesn't mean that the rest of us aren't working. Maybe the man that's doing the speaking doesn't do as much work as some of the rest of us who go from room to room and seek to help to get these folks ready and get them on their feet and in their chairs or with their cane and so on and help them into the room, the meeting room that we have. So it is a blessed work, and I trust that it will carry on too, just as long as the assembly here carries on. And I hope that's on to the time when Jesus comes. My, what a blessing it is for to have a oneness of mind and heart in the salvation of souls and of seeking to build up the people of God and sharing with one another. So I'm going to, at the beginning, I'm going to just, in connection with this waiting period, I am not going to tell you how many days it actually is, how many days it will cover. I don't know how many of you, I'm not going to even ask for hands, know how many days this waiting period will be. But it's a waiting period. And if you remember already, we, in the introductory message that we had this morning, we covered a 40-day period. And it's a blessed thing to see that in this chapter, four times over, we read these precious words. He was taken up. Taken up. Taken up. And it's a wonderful thing to see him going to glory, as we're singing. It'll all be glory by and by. And to know that he has been taken up into glory. And it's just what he had promised on one of the feast days in the Gospel of John, when he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his inmost part shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which had not yet come, for Jesus had not yet been glorified. But we saw him glorified this morning, didn't we? And what a blessing that was to our souls. And I think that most of our eyes were riveted too with the apostles as they saw him with his hand stretched out in blessing, and he was taken up out of this present world, passing through the air, and the cloud receiving him out of their sight. What a blessing that was to their souls, and what a blessing it has been to my soul. Just to say, he was taken up. He was taken up. Oftentimes we stop at the resurrection, but oh, we want to get into the ascension and the glorification, and we want to eventually come to the day when the Spirit comes. And when the Spirit had come, we know that Jesus was glorified, and we know that he took the things of Christ and showed them unto the apostles, and he's here today. It's a ministry for the present time that we are living. And if the Lord Jesus isn't glorified, if the Holy Spirit isn't taking the things of Christ and showing them unto us, if he is not giving us ministry concerning the judgment that has taken place, we will not be able to teach or witness for the Lord. I don't care what you get into, how you work and move or study or all the rest of it. If the Holy Spirit isn't taking the things of Christ and showing them unto you, and if he isn't giving you power to witness for him, your ministry is in vain. So we see that what we have in the Acts of the Apostles is very, very important for us in this present period of time in which we live. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And here is the... I'll say it now. Here's the 10-day waiting period for him to come. And what we want to do is to see if some of the activity and movements of the apostles and the disciples during this 10-day waiting period. And I know that there are a lot of mistakes that are made by some concerning this, and I know of groups of people that will still have a 10-day waiting period, and they will get together and they pray for the Holy Spirit to come. But that was not in the prayers that are mentioned here in this 10-day period. They weren't praying for the Spirit to come. They knew he would come. The Lord Jesus had promised it to them. When he would be glorified, he would come. And so what we find them doing here is leaving Mount Olivet, and they're going back that Sabbath day's journey to Jerusalem. And where are they going? They are going to the upper room. And I have no doubt that that's the upper room where the last Passover was held. And they were going there. In fact, it seemingly was the place where the apostles were abiding. It says in verse 13, they went to the upper room where abode, that is to the abode of Peter, James, John, and of course the eleven apostles. That was their abode. And what did they do when they got back there to the upper room? Well, these all continued with one accord. That's beautiful, isn't it? One accord. One mind. One movement. There was a togetherness. Oh, I don't like that word we often hear today in connection with Christianity. This is an independent movement. I don't know what verse that is gotten from in the Bible. It's a togetherness. And what a blessing it is to be in oneness of mind as they were here in one accord. And what were they doing? They were in prayer and supplication. Not their praying and in supplication for the Spirit to come, but that they might be in a condition for it. And the things that the Lord had taught them during those 40 days, that they may have the strength from above to do them, that they might be able to witness and be a witness to the whole world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I believe that during those 40 days, I believe the Lord Jesus was teaching them the things that they were instructing them and the things they were to do after the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And they wanted to be in condition for it. They knew the Holy Spirit was coming. And just to show you how radical sometimes people are when they are praying for the Holy Spirit to come down and baptize them again, they might just as well pray that the Lord Jesus will be formed in another virgin's womb and become a little baby again. It amounts to the same thing because the Holy Spirit has come. And we know that the Son of God has come. And he's given us an understanding to know him, that is true. We are in him, that is true. even in God's Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Well, anyway, we were in Shippensburg, and we had a big table, and there was something like 22, 24 of us around that table, and we were going to read the Word of God and then pray. And the man right aside of me, he stood up before it got to his turn to read his verse. And he took his glasses off like that, and he laid them there. And he started to speak in these tongues, and I couldn't understand a word he said. And not much better than I can see you now without my glasses on. And I just got in the coattail gently, and although he finished his tongues. And when he sat down, I called him by name. I said, "My, you're out of order." I said, "You don't even have an interpreter." And I said, "My, if you just had an interpreter, and it would be according to the Word of God, I'm sure we'd receive it." He said, "If you were a little more spiritual, you would have known what I said." And there was his glasses like that. And eventually he said, "The Lord told me that I didn't need these anymore." Lo and behold, it came his turn to read his verse. And he couldn't read it. He hemmy-hawed a little bit and tried, but he couldn't read his verse. And then he hit me with his elbow, and he said, "You read my verse." So, you see, what you can get into if you get into a group that is doing this very thing. And this thing is expanding and growing. And many people like it because of the enthusiasm. And I love enthusiasm too. I love to hear people say amen and praise the Lord. I love it. But if it's according to truth, fine. But if it's not according to the truth, I don't want it. And I don't want to get into the air of it. And I want to expose it. And I want to have the courage to expose it. I want to speak boldly the things of God. Well, so there they were praying, and it says, and they were also in supplication. And I understand that sometimes in our prayers, we ought to get into the place where we would even fall down on our knees or even on our face and with tears maybe in our eyes, beg the Lord in our prayers for what we believe He would have us to have. He wants to see reality in you and me. And one of the nicest prayers I think that I ever heard or heard it repeated was, "O Lord, make us real." Well, here they are. They are in prayer and in supplication, and notice that it is with the women. I heard something just today. I don't think maybe I ought to repeat it. A brother said, "You brethren do a lot of barking, but it's the ladies that lay the eggs." There may be a lot of truth in that. But thank God for our dear women that pray. And I believe there's times when we brethren get up maybe on Lord's Day morning. Maybe we don't have too much in our basket, but we're willing to use what we have. And our dear sisters are praying, supplicating for us, that we might be able to tell the Lord that we appreciate Him, and we love Him, and we're looking for Him to come again. Oh, I would to God that we would see more of this oneness of heart and mind in prayer with the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was there. The Blessed Virgin was there. And what was she doing? Praying. She felt and realized her dependence too upon God. Oh, how different that is today. Even in my own family, my own dear sister, older than myself. She would say to me, "Charles, if you would just address your prayers to Mary, she knows the Lord Jesus so well. She gave him birth, and she will influence him to answer your prayers." And you would be surprised how many pray to Mary. But Mary, she isn't deified whatsoever. She is just as dependent as all the rest. And she's here praying with all the rest in dependence upon God. Oh, what a blessing to see this. And then again, you don't see any candles here being burnt or burning to Mary, do you? Not a candle. I have a son-in-law and granddaughter. My daughter has gone to be with the Lord. They burn something like 7 tons of wax a year into candles. How many of them, I don't know, might be sold in order that they might burn to the Virgin Mary. But it's false. It's false. No. And we actually see Mary here for the last time in the Scriptures, all the way through the New Testament. Not once again do you see Mary's name. But I believe she was with the disciples, and I do know this, that she was given to John, and John received her as a gift from the Lord to look after her from the day of his crucifixion on. Just how long they were together, I know not, but her name is not mentioned once more in the Bible. But I do know this, her name is in heaven, and she's in the glory now. Well, and then it says, with his brethren. These are interesting things, I think, that we ought to see that went on during these 10 days of waiting. The Lord's brethren. And if you remember, there it's back in John, I believe it's chapter 7, when they said to him, his family said to him, "Why don't you go up to the feast and you show some of these miracles up at the feast?" And the Lord Jesus said, "I go not up to the feast at that particular time." And in connection with his brethren, it says they did not believe in him. But, oh, after his resurrection, after he must have showed himself alive for 40 days, 500 brethren at one time, most of them living on up until the time that scripture was written. His brethren, they believed that he was their brother, was the Messiah. And oh, what a blessing and what a shock it must have been to their souls to make such a change. And to think of James, his brother, was one of the main disciples in Jerusalem, wasn't he? And he was willing to die for Christ's sake. Oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he were rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. And again, I'm thankful for the hymn that we sung. It'll all be glory by and by. Well, and then I want you to see the courage that Peter has after being taught by the Lord for 40 days, along with the rest of the disciples. In verse 15, it says, Peter stood up. Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. My, that was a lovely prayer meeting, wasn't it? 120 of them, and all taking part in prayer. And maybe not all audibly, but all, I believe, were engaged in prayer. And then he instructs them. due to the fact that the Lord Jesus had possibly taught them during those 40 days. And he says, men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. I don't know. All I can see is that due to his conviction, and due to his remorsefulness, and due to what he had done because of his sin, and because he had never repented, and he never really belonged to the Lord, and yet was found in this ministry, he goes out along that hillside and sees that tree maybe hanging out over the cliff, puts a noose around his neck, and he makes the leap from the tree, and what is seen? This awful, awful scene at the bottom of the precipice. And it says, falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. And this was known. This isn't a fairy tale. It was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in the proper tongue Al-Sadama, that is to say, the field of blood. And if you remember, when Judas was going to repent, it was a matter of being filled with remorse more than repentance, he went back and flung the money down at their feet, these religious leaders. And they said, what's that to us? It's the price of blood. No doubt Judas never picked it up and went out and bought the field. I don't know. And it is called the field of blood. The field of blood. And then Peter doesn't stop talking, you see. He's still in the scriptures, and possibly in some of the things that the Lord had taught him. And in verse 20, he says, it's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his oversight or bishopric let another take. Why does he say this? I have an idea that both Peter and the rest of the apostles, they saw that there was one missing, one of the 12. One was missing, and who would take his place? There must be 12 apostles, because the Lord Jesus had taught them very clearly that the time would come when the kingdom would be set up, that each one of the apostles would sit on the 12 thrones. And they would be sitting there judging the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And here they are. Oh, there's only 11. There's only 11. Will there be an empty throne when the kingdom comes? They were looking for it. Will there be an empty throne? And so Peter, by the scriptures, looking at two different places in the Psalms, he sees that this man's place must be filled. I know that some people will say, and maybe good Bible teachers will say, oh, they made a big mistake during this time of waiting. They made a big mistake. The Apostle Paul should have filled and taken up that 12th throne. Never. The Apostle Paul couldn't. The scriptures say, and the apostles, they had to be one who had been with him at least from the baptism of John, had seen him, been with him, saw him doing and teaching, and been with him right on up to his crucifixion. And the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul ever saw him in the flesh. No, but the Apostle Paul was an apostle, possibly of a greater standing, and no doubt possibly he was of greater standing than any one of the 12. And he gets and has even now the crown of righteousness. And the day is coming when you and I are going to have a crown of righteousness also, who look for the Lord's appearing. But the Apostle Paul, think of him, the work that he accomplished, and the various manifestations and revelations that he gave, greater than any of them. But the thrones are going to be filled, and there's going to be an apostle on each one of the thrones. And Matthias is going to be one of them. Some have said, Matthias, why, he's not mentioned after this. Well, I don't know. Just turn over, for instance, to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And I believe it's verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, because that every man heard. Now, that isn't the verse I want. Just a minute, we'll find it. I've got it written down here. Chapter 2, is it verse? Every one of you has it. I'm sure it's in chapter 2, where it's mentioned. And it's also mentioned in another place, where the 12 were gathered together. I know it's one place in chapter 2, and it's also, I think, in chapter 6. Maybe we could go over to chapter 6 and find it. Chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 11 were called. Or the 11 called? What is it? Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said so and so. So you see, Matthew's name is given here, and it's also in chapter 2, and I'll leave that for you to look up. Now, verse 26, in closing, and they gave forth their lots. Some have said this was altogether wrong to cast lots. But when you come into the one of the books in the Old Testament, we read these words, the lot is cast into the lap, and the disposing of it is of the Lord. And he was obeying the truth. And the lot, no doubt, these men were put, maybe in a vessel, maybe shaken up, and the one that came out in the lap was Matthias. And Matthias is the apostle of the Lord's choice. And he'll be on one of the 12 thrones when the kingdom of God comes. And it says he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, I know we would like to get into the coming of the Holy Spirit, but that comes next. And that will be for my next subject when you ask me to speak, probably next April. But just to show you that word Pentecost, it actually means 50. And we have these feasts, and that feast, that last feast that was held before the Lord Jesus was crucified, was called the last Passover. And it was a picture of the death of Christ. And then the next feast, if you remember, was called the Feast of First Fruits. And they were to take the sheaf of wheat or grain and to wave it before the Lord, which pictures Christ in resurrection. Then when you come to the next feast, it's called the Feast of Weeks. And they said, now you, the Bible says, now you count 7 Sabbaths. How many days would that be? 7 Sabbaths. 49. And on the day following, you bake 2 loaves of fine flour, 2 loaves of bread with fine flour. And I want you to put 11 in the loaves. And there I believe you have a picture of what is actually taking place in this dispensation in which we are living right now. The Jew and the Gentile, 2 loaves brought together, and they are brought together in one, which is Christ. And the church consists of Jew and Gentile. And the gospel, the power of God, went out to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And when they believed the gospel, they were brought together as one, in one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. My, what a blessing this is to all of us to know these truths and to seek to practice them as the Lord Jesus did in his teaching. It says what he did and what he taught. And if again I say, if our lives aren't taken up with doing as Christians, if they aren't taken up with doing, they will not be taken up with teaching. We first of all, must have that Word of God by the Holy Ghost in our bodies, in movement, in meditation, and developing us that we might be able to teach others. And if the Holy Ghost is teaching through one of the apostles, through you or I, there'll be power in the message, there'll be attraction to the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be conviction, and there'll be conversion. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for the power manifested by Thy Spirit, taking up the Word and convincing and convicting us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and taking the things of Christ and showing them unto us, glorifying Him and His name. We thank Thee for this present ministry during this period of time or dispensation in which we live, and we pray that each one of us might be a part of it, and that there might be a oneness of mind and heart, and a togetherness in showing the praises of our blessed Savior, who has called us out of darkness into such marvelous light, and to give us this hope for tomorrow, it will all be glory by and by. Accept of our thanks, dismiss us with thy blessing, and again we would ask that we might be kept in thy love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being upon us, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be the portion as we go on day by day. We ask it in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.